Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Shape of a War Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please. Press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, is our food killing us? Genesis 2:16 says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. From the natural path, says, nutrition is the key to health and all disease. Disease, right? This comes straight from the father of medicine. At, we know he's not the father of medicine. Hippocrates, who said said to have coined the phrase, because we know the Egyptians were performing medical procedures way before Hippocrates, he spelled his own name. But anyway, says, let your food be your medicine, and your medicine be your food. So from provocative thought, I have come to the conclusion that diabetes is another way of saying diet beating us. In fact, killing us. From EUFIC, EUFIC. What is food processing? Food processing is any method used to turn fresh food into products. This can involve one or a combination of various processes. Washing, chopping, pasteurizing, that's when you heat it up, right? Freezing, fermenting, packaging, cooking, and some other stuff they do. Cause I can imagine some of the stuff I heard that they do to foods that are being processed. Food processing also includes adding ingredients to food, for example, to extend the shelf life. Right? So, very important. See, I find it, as in Genesis, it says, of every fruit of the tree, eat. So, I mean, that man was going straight to the source, eating his food. And we have a difference here because food is being processed, heat being put to some of it, you know what I'm saying? Washing, freezing, and chopping, and things like that, right? So, how does processed food fit into a healthy diet? Key word here is healthy. A healthy diet means eating a variety of nutritious foods from different food groups, they say, right? Including fresh fruits and vegetables, grains and cereals, opting for whole grains when possible, proteins, dairy, and healthy fats. Now, that's arguably healthy, depending on what you believe yourself, because not everybody believes that you should eat everything that's come off a tree. I had a guy once tell me, if you had to cook it, then you're not supposed to eat it. Most foods consumed nowadays were processed at least to some degree, they say. But not all processed foods are the same. For example, fruit candy and fruit juice will be a better option than fruit candy and the syrup. So that syrup, I think, was that. Especially if it's corn syrup. That's a genetically modified corn-based syrup. Anyway. Well, it could be anyway. More than likely it is, they say. Anyway, therefore, when chosen mindfully, processed foods can be incorporated into a healthy and balanced diet, they say. So, less processed foods, such as frozen fruits and vegetables, provide viable sources of nutrition, right? With greater convenience and lower price. Chopped, frozen, and canned foods and natural juices, fruit or water, vegetable or fish are therefore a good alternative for busy people having limited time to shop for or cook from a fresh produce. Now, I'd like to caution anybody on information I've been told about processed, concentrated juices. And things like that, but I'm not trying to make the show about being a vegan or a vegetarian or anything like that. But you know, need to be do your own research on anything you put in your mouth. And I suggest that you be extreme with any of it. Anyway, some processed foods that contain less fiber and high levels of saturated fat, added sugar, and salt are best consumed occasionally, right? For example, canned foods that are attracted to the sense of taste. And cured meats are often high in salt. In fact, the World Cancer Research Fund advises to eat very little, if any, processed meat, such as ham. That's your lunch meat, y'all. That stuff we've been busting up on lunch meat forever. Salami, bacon every morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning breakfast, and some sausages. Man, including Frankfurters. That's the baseball hot dog. And something else, chorizo. I never heard of that. I don't even know if I pronounced it right. Similarly, it helps to be mindful of foods like biscuits, chocolate bars, burgers. It helps to be mindful of burgers too, but we're not talking about burgers. Anyway, pizzas and the like, and make them an occasional addition too, rather than the basis of your diet. So basically they're saying that biscuits, chocolate bars, burgers, pizzas, they're really not good for you. They've been kind. And, depending on who you talk to, dairy is a no-no. So, that's being quite kind to processed foods. In short, eat bad food in moderation. You hear the people say that with drinking alcohol, right? In reality, processed foods are synonymous with an unhealthy diet. It's another big business, processed foods, right? The shelf life from the marketplace. If processed foods make up, it's because you don't think it's a big business, but I don't think anybody would think that. Hope not. Processed foods make up 70% of the U.S. diet. From the New York Times, our food is killing too many of us. Improving American nutrition would make the biggest impact on our health care. By Dervish Massafarian and Dan Glickman. Mr. Massafarian is the dean of the Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition, Science, and Policy. Mr. Glickman was the Secretary of Agriculture from 1995 to 2001. It talked about the Democratic debate on health care and how it's centered around who should be covered, I guess who should die, who should pay the bill. The debate, which has been going on for decades, which it shouldn't, has no clear answers and cannot be easily resolved because of two fundamental realities, they say. Health care is expensive. And Americans are sick. Then they go on to talk about Americans are sick, right? Much sicker than we realize. They say more than 100 million adults, almost half the entire adult population, have pre-diabetes or diabetes. I don't know if you guys noticed. I know where I live, where I travel, there's a lot of dialysis buildings and places. Like, you know, we got bars, we got stop and goes, we got churches, and we have dialysis services. Anyway, cardiovascular disease afflicts about 122 million people and causes roughly 840,000 deaths each year. How many deaths do we have from COVID now? or about 2,300 deaths a day. That's cardiovascular disease, which you can attribute these conditions to your diet. 3 in 4 adults are overweight or obese. More Americans are sick than are healthy. They say instead of debating who should pay for all of this, no one is asking the far more simple and imperative question. This is a good part. I agree with this. What is making us so sick? And how can we reverse this so we need less health care? The answer is standards in the face. They say on average 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we got some stuff of some people eat in between those periods, right? Our food, right? They say poor diet is a leading cause of mortality in the United States, costing more than half a million deaths per year. This is every year. How many people died from COVID so far? Just 10 dietary factors are estimated to cause nearly 1,000 deaths every day, from heart disease, stroke, and diabetes alone. Heart disease, stroke, and diabetes alone. These conditions are expensive, they say, right? Cardiovascular disease costs $351 billion annually in healthcare spending and lost productivity. Diabetes costs $327 billion annually. The total economic cost of obesity is estimated to be at, you ain't gonna believe it, $1.72 trillion per year, or 9.3% of the gross domestic product. So apparently individuals are able to profit off of our being sick. It said these human and economic costs are leading drivers of ever-rising healthcare spending, strangled government budgets, diminished competitiveness of American business, and a reduced military readiness. Because if your military personnel is not eating the best nutrition, they're not going to function at the level they could best. Because you're not putting, it's like a car. You don't put the best gas in there for your car, it's not going to function, accelerate at its best. It's not going to get you from point A to point B as its best, in its best condition, and so forth, right? Fortunately, advances in nutrition science and policy now provide a roadmap for addressing this national nutritional crisis. Really? The food is medicine, solutions are win-win, they say. Okay, I believe that. Promoting better well-being, lower health care costs is an advantage. Greater sustainability, reduced disparities amongst population groups, improved economic competitiveness. Sure, you want all this that people want this to happen? I know grassroots people would want this to happen. And greater national security. Some simple, measurable improvements can be made in several health and related areas, they said. For example, Medicare, Medicaid, private insurers, and hospitals should include nutrition in any electronic health record. Now, don't hospitals have like McDonald's in it and stuff like that? Why do they have that? That's interesting. Anyway, update medical training, licensing, and continuing education guidelines to put an emphasis on nutrition, offer patient prescription programs for healthy produce. See that? Let your food be your medicine. That's in line with that. And for the sickest patients, cover home-delivered, medically tailored meals. Your diabetic have anything on that tray that will put you in a bad situation. You know what I'm saying? So teach these people who are sick how to eat to live, right? Just the last action, for example, can save a net of $9,000 in health care costs per patient per year. All right? So, let me see now. An increase in healthy people results in a decrease in diseased or unhealthy people and a decrease in profits for big pharma, petrochemicals, and medical professionals. Could that be why these non-nutritional foods are perpetuated? Both big pharma and the medical profession are billion-dollar industries, and as I say, the love of money is a root of evil, because evil has many roots. From Newsweek, researchers writing in the Journal of the American Medical Association investigated the financial balance of pharmaceutical companies. Their calculations found that in the years between 2000 and 2018, 35 big drug companies received a combined revenue of $11.5 trillion with a gross profit of $8.6 trillion. Putting on my conspiracy theory hat, if you want to depopulate the world, why not make the whole world sick? The best way to kill someone is to have them kill themselves and enjoy themselves while they're doing it. Like with ant and roach baits. After foraging, insects take the poisonous, tasty food back to their loved ones and eventually kills the whole family or colony. Making the poisonous food readily available and healthy food less available and less affordable controls the food selection and herds the consumer towards the tasty, mouth-watering morsels of destruction. I don't know. I don't know if it's evil genius, greed, or both. It's definitely diabolical. Anyway, the story went on to go on to talk about taxes on sugary beverages. If, you know, like, I think Philadelphia had something like that. You know, they tax the sugary, the sodas and stuff like that. Anything that got sugar in it that you drink that has sugar in it. Hell, if they taxed everything that had sugar in it, they would be taxing almost everything that you buy that you could eat. Because I see sugar in things like bread. It's not sweet bread, but there may be some sugar in there. You know, so. Anyway, taxes on sugary beverages. They should protest that because they use sugar in more than beverages. Anyway, can be paired with subsidies on protective foods like fruits, nuts, vegetables, beans, plant oils, whole grains, and yogurt and fish. So they suggest emphasizing protective foods represents an important positive message for the public and food industry that celebrates and rewards good nutrition. Do they? Levels of harmful additives like sodium, added sugar, and trans fat can be can be lowered through voluntary industry targets and regulatory safety standards. See, that's what I just talked about, sugar being in a lot of things. So my dad is steady sugar tax for sodas, but why aren't they taxing the use of sugar, period? Nutrition standards in schools, right? Have that, create that, which have improved the quality of school meals by 41%, should be strengthened. The National Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program should be extended beyond elementary schools to middle and high schools. So we need to get more fresh vegetables and fruit in our diet, they're saying, right? And people need to get acclimated toward that. So it makes sense. And getting children, young adults, acclimated toward getting the more healthier foods into their body. All the way up to high school. So I think that's a good idea. I don't know if they get the support for that. And a supplemental nutrition assistance program, right? SNAP, right? Which supports grocery purchase for nearly 1 in 8 Americans, should be leveraged to help improve diet quality and health, right? So they said the private sector could play a role. Changes in shareholder criteria, right? Corporations can balance profit versus purpose with high social and environmental standards. That's the joke right there. Corporations are concerned with one thing, profits. Shareholders. Profits. Okay? Anyway. Reward companies for tackling obesity, diabetes, and other diet-related illnesses. Public-private partnership should emphasize research and development on best agricultural and food processing practices. I only have one thing to say about that. Good luck with that. All work sites should demand healthy food when negotiating with cafeteria vendors and include incentives for healthy eating in their wellness benefits. That's nice because they already have the exercise in there. So healthy food, why not? Coordinate federal leadership and funding for research is also essential, they say. So we need to do more research. I don't know why we need to do research in eating healthy. I mean, we should know. I think we already know that, you know, processed foods are really not good for you. A lot of, you know, excessive salt and all the sugar, which is as addictive as cocaine, you know, highly addictive, you know, and they throw that around in a lot of food. You know, I understand it probably makes some stuff taste better because I know some people put sugar in spaghetti and different things like that. But still, it doesn't change the fact. Anyway, it should include, for example, a new National Institute of Nutrition at the National Institute of Health. And so, which they said, such an effort, it could take many decades to understand and utilize exciting new areas, including related to food processing, the gut microbiome, microbes in your stomach, which help digest the food. The minute you eat, these microbes immediately attack that food. You know, I just saw something about microbes that help. If you have a lot of them, they keep you thin because they, you know, they attack the food when you eat it. Burn up, don't allow about the body, doesn't allow the body to store as many calories and yada, yada, yada like that. So I don't know how true it is. That's just what they said. Anyway. Allergies, but gut microbe allergies and autoimmune disorders, cancer, brain health, treatment of battlefield injuries, and effects of non-nutritive sweeteners and personalized nutrition. So anyway, they say the government plays a crucial role, which they're playing a crucial role right now. So the significant impact of the food system on well-being, healthcare, spending, the economy, and the environment. That's a lot. If things are, you know, trash now, and the government is or should be or is pretending to be playing a crucial role, how are we going to get the government out of that hole? Anyway, together with mounting public and industry awareness of these issues have created an opportunity for government leaders to champion real solutions. Okay. Good luck with that one, too. If the government has been hijacked by individuals, interest groups, and corporations that profit from the sale of non-nutritious food sources, you can forget about getting any real assistance from them. Cash rules everything around them. Profit over people is their model. Public interest is corporate interest, which supersedes the best interest of the people or the rights of a person. You could question if Americans live in a democracy or a republic till pigs fly and find no explanation for this nightmare. But we are not in Kansas City, and we never were. Government is merely a smoke and mirrors routine gone bad. I really tried to make this show about food, but the reality is it just isn't that simple. I just tried to get on and say, eat this, it's good for you. But then I had to think about it, and, you know, we didn't get in this fix by accident. And he went on to say, yet, with rare exceptions, the current presidential candidates are not being asked about these critical national issues. Every candidate should have a food platform, and every debate should explore these positions. A new emphasis on the problems and promise of nutrition to improve health and lower health care costs is long overdue for the presidential primary debate and should be prominent in the 2020 general election and the next administration. Y'all think Biden and Harris is gonna do something with that? Improve health, reduce health care costs by making help people being more healthy? Now, if these candidates or government was concerned about health, the health of the people of this country, they wouldn't allow things like corn syrup to be used in food or as food. Corn syrup was banned in the European Union. But wait a minute. From the worldpress.com, high fructose corn syrup is banned in Europe as a part of a long list of genetically modified foods made in the U.S. And Mexico is just beginning to allow the flow of high fructose corn syrup across its border as a part of the NAFTA agreement. So that's a trade agreement, right? The National American, North American Trade Agreement, something trade agreement. These processed sweeteners and preservatives are made from number two filled corn, a massive blend of hybrid and genetically modified corn developed by companies such as Monsanto's. Y'all heard of them. Everybody know Monsanto's. Not in depth rules for quality, except it having a maximum percentage of moisture content. So, what is the North American Free Trade Agreement? That's the NAFTA. N-A-F-T-A. The North American Free Trade Agreement was implemented in order to promote trade between U.S., Canada, and Mexico, right? All of North America, I guess, except, you know. The agreement, which eliminated most tariffs, taxes, on trade between the three countries. You give me this, I'm not paying nothing on it. I give you this, you don't pay nothing on it, right? So they went into effect on January 1st, 1994. Numerous tariffs taxes, particularly those related to agriculture, textiles, and automobiles, were gradually phased out between January 1, 1994 and January 1, 2008. Why was NAFTA formed? About one-fourth of all U.S. imports, such as crude oil, machinery, gold, vehicles, fresh produce, livestock, and processed foods, originate from Canada and Mexico, which are the U.S. second and third largest suppliers of imported goods. That's a lesson for me. In addition, approximately one-third of U.S. exports, particularly machinery, vehicle parts, mineral fuel, oil, and plastics are destined for Canada and Mexico. I'm always suspicious about terms like U.S. imports or U.S. exports. It sounds like it's really U.S. imports or U.S. exports, but in actuality, it refers to individual interest groups or corporate interest. I know I don't know anyone who has imported or exported anything from Canada or Mexico. Americans appear to be spoon-fed a diet that is beating them literally to death. Hell, the world appears to be being fed a diet that is beating them literally to death. A friend of mine once told me, when you see something repeating itself, it is not. It is not a coincidence. Yes, repetition is a deliberate and calculated force or process. From the Independent. The food we produce is killing us and decimating biodiversity. A change has to be made. This is on Juan Lucas Restrepo and Elizabeth Maruma Nrima. Sorry about that. I butchered their names, but my Spanish is not that good. They went on and talked about how food production has skyrocketed in recent years at a tremendous cost to Earth's natural environment and health. Because food production turns forests and wetlands into expanses of extensive and unproductive grazing, it is the single biggest driver of biodiversity loss. So, those are the biodiversity. We don't get into it. From the National Geographic. Biodiversity refers to the variety of living species on Earth, including plants, animals, bacteria, and fungi. So that means that they're killing up a lot of things that the Earth, you know, supports the Earth's ecosystem, which supports us. So anyway, while Earth's biodiversity is so rich that many species have yet to be discovered, many species are being threatened with extinction due to human activities, putting the Earth's magnificent biodiversity at risk. Okay. Agriculture is responsible for about 30% of greenhouse gas emissions and sucks up 80% of the fresh water we use. That's news to me. I mean, I wouldn't know that anyway, but that's a hell of a statistic. Synthetic fertilizers and agrochemicals used in agriculture, right? So that could be your pesticides, you know, I don't know what else they use, they put in the earth for agriculture purpose, but they said they pollute the air we breathe, water we drink, and soils we farm, threatening both biodiversity and human health. So right there, that's before they even get to processing the food. The earth is contaminated. The air, the water, everything about the system is contaminated. The food we produce is killing us, they said. They said the flip side of the 800 million hungry is the roughly 2 billion people who are overweight or suffer from diet-related non-communicable diseases like diabetes and high blood pressure, potentially life-threatening conditions. Today, about 11 million premature deaths per year are related to unhealthy diet. That's a lot of folks, y'all. 11 million premature deaths per year related to unhealthy diet. And I'm not saying that, you know, nobody's dying from COVID, but we got 11 million premature deaths per year related to unhealthy diets. And I don't see nobody doing nothing about that. Was there any presidential candidate mentioning that? That they said? 11 million. Is that cool? Is that all right? Is that okay? Our unhealthy diets are tied to the loss of diversity in the food we eat. So we don't eat we eat the same old, and it's what we eat, and it's no good. So it's the same old jacked up food, I guess. I don't know. Between 1961 and 2009, global diets became homogeneous, dominated by staple crops rich in energy but poor in nutrients. All right, so you're getting your belly fed and you're getting a rush, an energy rush. That's it. You're getting very little nutrients. Rice, wheat, and maize provide more than 50% of the world's plant-derived calories. Simply put, people are not consuming enough nutrient-rich foods such as fruits, nuts, seeds, vegetables, and whole grains. Whole grains is the whole grain, everything without anything taken away from it, right? Furthermore, our global population is hurtling toward 10 billion people. And if current trends continue, they say, the day will come that our soils will be so unproductive, right? Why would it be unproductive? But we just talked about the soil being polluted, right? And our ecosystem disrupted. We talked about animals dying. We're talking about the water, the land, and the air being polluted, and animals disappearing, right? That our food and water will not be able to sustain a healthy population. We won't have enough food and water to sustain the population. I hated the water we're drinking right now. Even some of this bottled water is acidic. Even some of the expensive stuff. Every business has a as usual day brings us closer to these critical tipping points. So business as usual means it's no change. So once we get there, they said no one will be spared, poor or rich. Returning to diet base as agricultural biodiversity is a critical component to fixing our food systems. Man, good luck with that. Too many people making money off of this. A first step is improving efforts to safeguard, conserve, and use again what is left of the world's genetic diversity, including different varieties and wild relatives of crops and livestock. Citizen science driven by local knowledge can help communities rediscover the potential of neglected and underutilized crops. These crops, once grown more widely, are falling into disuse for economic, institutional, and cultural reasons, including the drive for more westernized diets. Some of these crops are stigmatized as food for the poor, but change is happening. Quinoa and fennel. I heard of quinoa. They sell that in supermarkets, as a matter of fact. and it don't taste too bad either, are growing in global popularity, and they both have better protein quality than most major cereals. They are just two examples of underutilized crops. There are dozens, if not hundreds more, they said. Diversified agricultural fields and landscapes must become the norm if we want to build more productive, resilient, and healthy food structures. This will contribute to reducing biodiversity loss, right? Greenhouse gas emissions, water scarcity, and contamination, ecosystems, pollution, and land degradation. That's serious. That's some serious stuff right there. Because it's basically saying that we're killing the land, the earth, to produce food that kills us, which is ridiculous, which is madness. Yet many farmers have few incentives to adopt this approach, as they are driven by market demand for more common high-yielding crop varieties. This leads us to the second step, increasing the adoption of nature-based solutions. Woo! By mainstreaming biodiversity in agricultural policy and by incorporating biodiversity and traditional knowledge into countries' dietary guidelines. Eat healthy. Because in order for people to eat healthy, they have to grow healthy. In order to grow healthy, they have to be mindful of what they put in the soil, what kind of plants they're growing, and which is a brick wall right there. Eventually, you know, I guess you can do some of that, but really, I think Monsanto is gonna just chuck their genetically modified corn anyway, because most of our food biodiversity is conserved by smallholders. We need to better link them to the public procurement programs in order to create additional market opportunities and demand for their products, right? So, that's really good stuff, though. And I'm not shooting it down, but, man, you're talking about billion-dollar industries going under, switching, because somebody says it's not healthy. I think they already know it's not healthy. You know, and that's almost like war. They said, finally, we need to recognize that we all have a right to play a role, that we all have a role to play in halting biodiversity loss, right? The negotiations of the post-2020 Global Biodiversity Framework, an ambitious plan to implement broad-based action to bring about the transformation in society's relationship with biodiversity. Okay? Offer a unique opportunity for all of us to commit, mobilize, and join forces to transform agriculture and food systems to benefit people and the planet through increased use of conservation of biodiversity. Woo! That's some good stuff. I mean, and we'll be a lot happier for it. But will that impact on put a dent in the pockets of those fat cats, the real fat cats? They said they urge us to commit to adopt a visionary post-2020 global biodiversity framework that recognizes the link between agriculture, food systems, and the environment. I mean, that just makes sense. You have to protect your environment. You're not protecting your environment, then the food sources that you yield from that environment are not going to be protected, which means that they might not have the nutritional value, or they might even be something that harm you. So, what we aren't eating is killing us, the global studies find. This is from CNN, Sandy Lamonte, right? So she says, Which risk factor is responsible for more deaths around the world than any other? Not smoking, not even high blood pressure. It's poor diet. All right, these are different people saying the same thing. Of course, you got to do your own research. I don't have boots on the ground. This is second, maybe third, generation reporting. In many countries, poor diet now causes more deaths than tobacco smoking and high blood pressure. Says Ashkan Afshin, an assistant professor at the Institute for Health Matrix and Evaluation at the University of Washington. So I'd say, Houston, we have a problem. Drinking two or more diet beverages a day is linked to high risk of stroke and heart attack. Drinking two or more diet beverages a day linked to high risk of stroke and heart attacks. Y'all hear that, right? Because most people think they're drinking a diet beverage to their benefit. So it's not just that people are choosing unhealthy options such as red meat and sugary sodas. Just as critical, Ashton said, the lead author of a 27-year-old global diet analyst was published in the journal The Lancet. It is the lack of healthy foods in our diets, along with high levels of salt. I don't know about y'all, but man, I be tearing chips up. I'm sorry. Not every day, not even every week, but when I do get to a bag of chips, I'm sorry. They said, while traditionally all the conversation about healthy diet has been focused on lowering the intake of unhealthy food, right? In this study, we have shown that at the population level, a low intake of healthy food is the more important factor. Basically, they're saying that the problem, you can lowering unhealthy food is not the best thing to do. It's the low. You need to up the intake of healthy food. So that makes sense to me. But if you just lower the intake of unhealthy foods, you're still eating unhealthy foods. You're just not eating as much. It's like not shooting as much dope. You're still on drugs. That don't make sense to me. Anyway, a lot of things don't make sense to me, though. Anyway. They said 1 in 5 deaths globally. That's about 11 million people. In 2007 occurred because of too much sodium and a lack of whole grains, fruits and nuts and seeds, the study found, rather than from diets packed with trans fat, sugar, sweetened drinks, and high levels of red and processed meats. The large study size means these findings are relevant to everyone, no matter where you live, said Andrew Reynolds, a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Otago in New Zealand, who was not involved in the study. The findings of the paper will inform policy decisions that shape what food is available in Western countries, how it is marked, and potentially what it costs in coming years. Anyway, they say, went on to say, high levels of unhealthy red and processed meat, sugars, sweetened vegetables, beverages, trans fatty acids, and salt, all known to be health risks, were compared with the effects of a diet low in many health foods and many healthy foods. Wow. So basically saying the diet low in healthy foods is worse than lowering the diet of these unhealthy things, because you're not getting what you need. That makes sense, because you're not getting that. If you have a diet that is barren, absent of the foods you need to eat, Yeah, so you're getting a lot of stuff that you don't need. That makes sense. That's weird, though. But it makes sense. Those healthy items include fruits, vegetables, whole grains, milk, calcium, nuts, seeds, fiber, legumes, and beans, omega-3 fatty acids from seafood, and polyunsaturated fats. The good-for-you fats found in salmon, vegetable oils, and some nuts and seeds. So, personally, can't drink milk. Very painful. Haven't drank in a very long time. And some people might argue this whole thing about milk, even for any animal, any adult, and anybody past weaning. But, you know, they say that milk is for children. Cow's milk is for the children of cows. Humans can't digest cow's milk properly. Anyway, they said except salt, which was a key risk factor in most countries. That's something. The study found red and processed meats, trans fat, and sugary drinks toward the bottom of the risk chart for most countries. That's interesting. In fact, more than half of all the global diet-related deaths in 2017 were due to just three risk factors: eating too much salt, not enough whole grain, and not enough fruit. Wow. Those risks held true regardless of social economic level of most nations. That's scary. I guess we're being led by our taste buds. And whatever tastes good to us, best to us, we go for it. Anyway, in January, the consortium released its diet for a healthy planet, which said that cutting red meat and sugar consumption in half and uptaking of fruits, vegetables, and nuts could prevent to 11.6 million premature death without harming the planet. That's, man. So, cut the unhealthy food. And if you're going to do that, you have to up the intake of the healthy food, which makes sense. You don't want to just cut unhealthy food. And it said to do all this without hurting the planet. Right about now, for everything I've been seeing about the planet must be very angry with mankind. Because it seems like all we do is hurt it. Ashton said, an overview of the current study, but few of the details, was in last year's Global Burden of Disease report, making this version, year's version, the most comprehensive analysis on the health effects of diet ever conducted. Despite some flaws and the gaps in data with underdeveloped country, they had some methodological flaws. So in undeveloped country. So anyway, they said the Mediterranean diet was named the best for 2019. That's a good claim, Reynolds said. Studies are published every year on how to eat. However, the amount of data considered and the global representativeness make this study worth attention. Excuse me. He added that the risk of ranking provide public policymakers with invaluable information on what dietary behaviors are to target first. Well, sound like salt is the one thing that's constant, as they said, and at the top of the list. Diet-related deaths by country. And I'm just going to go back and say, and I can see why the writer was talking about, how come none of these presidential candidates are talking about these millions of people that are dying from diet-related illnesses yearly, millions. How come the country is not been alerted to the seriousness of diet? I mean, it sounds like we take that for granted. Maybe because it tastes so good. You can eat something that tastes good that's probably going to kill you if you keep eating it for the rest of your life. It's probably going to cause you to have a heart attack, some kind of something. I don't know. But you go down with a smile. You know what I'm saying? You go down and, hey, I love that stuff, you know. So, there are 10 million diet-related deaths in 2017, and they were from. Go down the list here. Cardiovascular disease. Y'all learn to eat. It was a book out called Eat the Lid. Probably everybody need to get whipped for that. Cleansing your home. How to cleanse your body, your intestines, liver, all that good stuff. Cancer was responsible for 913,000 deaths. Type 2 diabetes accounted for 339,000 deaths. In addition, 66% of disabilities in 2017 ranged from a range of chronic diseases were due to these three factors: diabetes, cancer, cardiovascular disease. Now, this may sound like some BS to some people, but if you think it is, stop in one of those dialysis places. Not everybody has inherited some kind of kidney disorder that's in there. Go up on some, well, you're not going nowhere nowadays because we got COVID. Nobody's visiting anything, but read. You got your computer. You can't catch COVID from reading. Do your own research. You know, it's the reason why you eat. We all know you don't eat, you die. You eat bad, you get sick. Right? So this is all making sense. Whether you believe everything that's coming over the air today, leaving a point. Because you go do your own research. And you'll find out, essentially, you living, you eating. You know what you're eating. You know what you're eating a lot of. So you can do your own research. They said obesity was not a top-tier contributor, coming in at 6 on the list of global disease risks. Uzbekistan had the highest number of diet-related deaths, followed by Afghanistan, and the Marshall Islands, Papua New Guinea, and who? Vanuatu. Israel had the lowest number, followed by France, Spain, Japan, and Andorra, a tiny principality between France and Spain. Never heard of it, but I wouldn't. In terms of lowest death rates, the UK ranked 23rd above Ireland, 24, Sweden, 25, while United States ranked 43rd after Rwanda and Nigeria, 41 and 42. India ranked 118th, and China ranked 140th. Highest risk factors. For the United States, India, Brazil, Pakistan, Nigeria, Russia, Egypt, Germany, Iran, Turkey, a lack of whole grains was the greatest risk factor. I'm a little confused because it said salt was constant, but whole grains is the greatest risk factor. For many more countries, that came in second or third. Lack of whole grains. That doesn't mean people in these countries ate no grains, but rather that they ate processed grains with little nutritional value. I think they explain what the grain is. Um, Many of the products sold to consumers today as whole grains often are not. That's another problem. And I had this conversation with a friend of mine all the time. We talk about the fact that just because somebody says it's organic, whatever it says, we really don't know, because like, we don't have boots on the ground. We didn't put this thing together. We didn't grow it. We didn't take it out of the ground. We didn't package it. We didn't do anything with it. So we don't really know what it is. And we don't really know what that people are being allowed to call whole grains, because maybe it says whole grain, not whole grains, but the FDA allows a certain percent of, you know, you have a certain percent of something, you can call it that. You know, maybe that's the look they're getting. That's almost like looking the other way to me. Because what are you there for if you're not protecting the people from the truth or the lie of people who are not protecting the consumer? We don't need you. Federal Trade, what is that called, the FTC or something? Federal Trade Commission. Anyway, whole grains are being included in ultra processed products that may be finely milled down and have added sodium, added free sugars, and added saturated fats, he said. This is a guy by the name of Reynolds. I think we all need to be aware of this, see, and not confuse the benefits from the more intact, minimally processed whole grain with what is often advertised as whole grain products available today. And I think so too, because you got to educate yourself. Don't look for people to educate you. You got a lot of information, right? Some of us anyway, on your cell phone. I know some people got those iPhones. That's probably better than a computer I'm on right now. So use it for other than entertainment. Entertain yourself with some information. See what's going on around you, how life is being impacted upon, because it's going to impact on you whether you read about it or not. Do something. So that means that some foods are labeled as whole grains, but they are not, and are allowed to deceive the consumer. Who is doing this? The FDA? Why would the FDA do that? Huh? You gotta ask yourself. You got these watchdogs. Basically, somebody's feeding them some raw meat, and they letting them come up in your house. A whole grain is defined as the use of the entire seed of a plant, the bran, the germ, and the endosperm. The Whole Grain Council provides a stamp available in 54 countries that consumers can look for that certifies the degree of whole grains in the product. Regional challenges. The greatest risk for China, Japan, Indonesia, and Thailand was the amount of sodium in the diet. That is probably due to the extremely salty rice vinegars, sauces, and pasties used to cook traditional Asian foods. Now, I know we got Chinese stores, a lot of Chinese stores in the hood, and soy sauce, you know, you get to pass the soy sauce. They very salty. I don't know. Salty foods such as soy sauce eaten with sushi contribute to sodium levels in Asian diet. So, you know, this is all in the spirit. Doing your own research, educating yourself about things you put in your mouth, in your body, because it's going to impact on you as a person, whether you like it or not. Anyway, sugary drinks are linked to higher risk of premature death, especially for women, studies said. Right? Let me go down to Mexico here. In Mexico, the lack of nuts and seeds was the highest risk factor. How did they get it down to nuts and seeds? That's interesting to me. Followed by a lack of vegetables, whole grains, and fruit in the diet. And it was one of the few countries where unhealthy sugary beverages rank quite high at number 5. That's not only due to a cultural preference for sodas and homemade sugary drinks called aguas frescas. Study co-author Christian Rizzo says, but a lack of access to clean water and even fruits and vegetables. Now, I always heard that you can't drink the water in Mexico. It's bizarre because shouldn't somebody say what is causing the water? How is this occurring? And shouldn't they have resolved that issue? Anyway, they say we don't have free clean water to drink in Mexico. Rosso has a PhD in nutrition from the National Institute of Public Health in Mexico. So people have to buy clean water, and if they're going to buy something, they prefer soda. Not very smart, my Mexican brothers who do that. Water should be the first thing you put in your body in the morning. Before you put a soda or coffee or anything in it, they say H2O first. It's also easier to get processed food than fresh fruits and vegetables. See, that's what I was saying about availability and hurting the decision of the people. Why does Mexico have clean water problems? Let's follow the money trail from Explorando Mexico. Water problems in Mexico. In Mexico, one of the factors most affecting water-related problems is distribution. Currently, more than 12 million persons lack drinkable water, especially in rural areas. Water pollution is due to the discharge of domestic, industrial, agricultural, and mining residues. 90 million Mexicans, despite having the infrastructure to receive drinkable water, so they got plumbing, need to filter their water through domestic purifying systems or buy it at a very high cost from private companies. Ridiculous. Since purifying plans and distribution networks provided by the government or the individual storage systems do not function properly, this polluting the vital liquid before reaching the final, consumer. So, this injustice has become a very lucrative business. See what I'm saying? Turning drinkable water into a private good. Money to be made. Is that part of the reason why it hasn't been turned around? I'm just asking. Despite the critical situation of water and availability and millions of pesos invested in the government of the promotion of preservation measures, distribution networks in cities are outdated and lack proper maintenance, reaching up to a 35% loss of water through these systems. So they got some old infrastructure. So they're doing a lot of mining in Mexico. What kind of mining they got going on in there? Not mining the people, no business besides that one. From www.azuming.com. What minerals are mined in Mexico? Newmont recently acquired a large gold mine in Mexico. Mexico is one of the top 10 industrial mineral producers in the world. In the world, y'all. Three minerals it produces are graphite, fluorspar, and strontium, which are critical minerals for the U.S. For your information, from Statista, in 2019, America's Mining Corporation was the leading mining company in Mexico, based on revenue with a sales value of more than 153 billion Mexican pesos. Industries, Pinoles ranked second, with sales amounting to over 86 billion pesos. These two Mexican mining companies also ranked amongst the leading mining companies in Latin America in 2018. Okay. Homemade drinks like horchata contribute to the overuse of sugar in Mexico. Mexico is a huge producer of fresh fruits and vegetables. Those are purchased by distributors in the United States and other countries. Mexico is a huge producer of fresh fruits and vegetables. Those are purchased by the distributors in the United States and other countries, leaving people in the cities with little access to the affordable fresh options or the ability to grow their own. That is what I call madness. I said we encourage people to buy in local markets, but they are more expensive. It's hard to compete with these huge brands that buy the products. Remember, I think Home Depot and what's another place called? I don't know. Lowe's. Home Depot and Lowe's, kind of like they said, they kind of put the mom and pop hardware stores out of business. Anyway. As for food, as for nuts and seeds, people just can't buy them because they're very expensive. So you price the people out of good health, right? Force them out of good health. I don't know. This thing is almost, to me, 11 million people dying a year. This is as bad as talking about AIDS and all this murdering in the hood. And, you know, I originally started out just to go on a talk about nutrition. That's all I was trying to do, y'all. But apparently, this is just something that's being overlooked. The people dying. I guess, I don't know. I guess COVID is, I can't blame it on COVID because we didn't have a lot of presidents in place, you know. Anyway, so Mexicans are being priced out of healthy food that is available in their country. That's crazy. I take a look at the government because the message they are sending is that it is okay for a particular population to eat, become ill, suffer, and die. That might be a message being sent by the actions of many governments who have a population that is dependent on a food and nutrition sources that are not life sustaining. It makes you almost wonder, is somebody trying to kill us? I don't know. It feels that way to me. This feels like, you know, somebody's trying to take us out, any by any means necessary. a lot of people dying, and this COVID thing, it's amazing how the COVID thing is, you know, how the, really, I don't even hear nobody talking about this. There's more people dying from this than COVID. Let me see if I got that number right. Is that? Because something is wrong with this picture. 11 million. These are preventable deaths. This is what they call, or I call, preventable death. Because you can choose, you know, you can make decisions about how you eat. You have plenty of solids and things like that. You can eat that kind of stuff. This is very preventable. And I know, I just want to alert people to, you know, how your diet. Do something about it. Do something. Don't do nothing. You know, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Do something about it. You know, and read. Come on, we got these cell phones. Laptops. It's about every school kid in Philadelphia has a laptop. So if you didn't have one and you had kids, you probably got about one to five of them in your house. Anyway, you know, learn how to use a computer and start doing some research for yourself, and so you don't have to listen to guys like me on the radio. You know, you can be talking to guys like me on the radio, and not that you can't talk now, but maybe you feel more comfortable if you have some background information and stuff like that. But no, this is terrible, and it's being repeated around the world, which says to me that no matter what a system is called, you get the same result all around the world when it comes to nutrition and nutritional food and stuff like that. You get the same result. You know, and eventually, you know, if we keep this up, we've been warned, destroying the environment, destroying the habitat of animals, some whom are not used for consumption, just destroying their habitat. There's a price to pay for that. It's a price to pay for not eating well. It's a price, just like it's a price to pay when you use drugs. It's a price to pay for not growing your food the proper way, in the land the proper way. And all that is about to sneak up on. Well, it's not going to sneak up on us because they know it. I mean, if this guy knows it, if I know it, then I think the powers to be know it. If I know it, I'm sure the powers to be know it. Because I don't have boots on the ground, as I said. And, you know, y'all try to eat healthy. Stay out of the Chinese stores. Stay away from the salty food. Stay away from the sugary foods. Sugar, you know, I don't advise anybody to give sugar to their child unless, you know, like they said here, on occasion, because I know people like to celebrate birthdays. But they didn't get the Halloween. What else they got? They got the Easter Bunny. They got all kinds of stuff. Everything, all these non-nutritious, highly addictive foods you're giving your kid. And then he's learning to do that same thing with his kid. So it's hard to break the cycle. So we have to break the cycle of having these poor diets. And we have to force ourselves to eat better, eat right, eat to live, live to eat. No, eat to live. Do not live to eat. You live to eat, you're going to eat everything in the kitchen. But if you eat to live, you will only eat what you need to eat and what you need to eat. If it's not what you need to eat, then you won't eat it. So, you know. Just look at this thing. It's worldwide. Sugary drinks. It's not at all particularly related to the United States or the highly industrial countries. It's wherever the you know, and we're not even at, I don't know, we major consumers now. So I don't know how highly industrial we are. Seems like we're just major consumers. But anyway, you know, I just want to thank everybody for listening in. Sorry, because I did want to do just, hey, eat this and eat that. But I'm trying not to write too much negative stuff. But it seemed like it's a bunch of negative things going down to me. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a coincidence. It's happening everywhere. It's happening all over the world. So that's not a coincidence. It's being duplicated all over the world. Do not, I repeat, do not fall prey to your diet. Everyone, please, let's try to eat all more healthier. Don't wait till New Year's to make a decision to do so. Read about what foods you need. And as a guy told me, you know, just start with the basics. And you're not going to be able to go cold turkey off of something unless it's painful, you know. So wean yourself off of that bad stuff. And try to get, you know, into eating more fruits and vegetables, as they said. Hopefully the fruits and vegetables aren't contaminated. But contaminated fruits and vegetables are probably better than not. Don't forget, you can wash your fruit and vegetable off. They have cleaners and stuff like that for your fruits and vegetables. So I don't know. I just want to encourage everybody to try to eat, you know, healthy. And there's nothing wrong with that. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, all my callers and listeners. Everyone, I know with the holidays coming up, you guys are going to eat big time. You know, again, I want to say, eat healthy. Live a better quality of life. Okay? Until next week, y'all. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. Not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.